I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 459. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Neesat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. As we get started today, I recognize engaging God's Word for yourself can feel daunting. And while our featured song will give us fresh inspiration as to where to study, the episode guide will give you the interaction tools you need to dig in. So grab your episode 459 guide at michellenezat.com/459download. And if you've already subscribed to my email list, this guide is in your inbox, ready to help you discover and meditate on God's Word in new ways. Now, this week's inspiration song is Don't Lose Heart by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And Stephen sings from a place of experience when he sings of deep valleys in life and fierce afflictions. Maybe you are in a season of life where you need to be encouraged to not lose heart. Well, before we dive into scripture, let's listen.
Don't lose heart. Don't you dare let go. I've been where you are. You are not alone. I know.
In an article on the K-Love blog, I read, perhaps the directive of don't lose heart holds more weight simply because the songwriter himself has walked through the valley of death and come out the other side. He lost his 5-year-old daughter, Maria, in 2008, and that tragedy forever marked Chapman and his family. Today, he feels a responsibility to pick up his guitar and do what he does best, sing songs that point to the hope of something bigger than what we can see in the here and now. And then Stephen himself adds, I've heard countless stories of others who've walked through their own deep, dark valleys, and I feel like there are some things I can say from the perspective I have now. So in 2010, Stephen's wife, Mary Beth Chapman, she wrote a memoir, and it includes her journey through this darkest of valleys of losing their daughter. And I'm going to go ahead and link to it in the show notes. It's been years since I've read it, but I do remember it being profound to read someone else's story. And she did a wonderful job of pointing back to the Lord during this time. And it seems like they are still pointing back to God's ways all these years later. Now, God has chosen to record some of the apostles' afflictions in Holy Scripture. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul actually uses the phrase, don't lose heart. And it says, 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. It's as simple as that to get inspiration, by the way, and then head over to scripture. I hear a song, I zero in on a phrase or idea, I head to scripture, and then I let scripture teach me by what it says. And that's what we do here on the podcast each episode. And my desire for you is to discover and meditate on God's word. And I know what it's like when a song really touches me. You know, it's tempting to let the song take precedence. It's hard not to. I mean, especially when they say exactly what we're thinking with lyrics like another sleepless night, praying hope comes with the morning light. Right now you're feeling like you've lost this fight and fear is screaming out your name. You know, someone out there is saying, yes, that's me. That's it exactly. Thank you, Stephen, for saying it that way. But what I want to challenge you to do is use this song in your arsenal. Let it speak to your heart and give you words to sing out, but let it point you to the truth of scripture that can transform your life. So with a simple phrase, I was drawn to 2 Corinthians, and there I've been sitting for the last couple of weeks. Now, I put out on social media what this week's song was going to be, and my friends over at Mixtape Theology Podcast commented that they thought of Luke chapter 18, and I love that because it inspired me to go read Luke chapter 18 and see that phrase again over there, even though that's not the direction that I went in. So I just want to say, see, there's no wrong way to do this. Get inspired, dive into scripture, and then meditate on what you're reading. But back to 2 Corinthians. Our feature verse is in chapter 4, but this is a letter. So I'm going to take two bites here. Bite stands for Bible Interaction Tool Exercise. The first bite is to read in context. And normally I define a context as at least the chapter before the chapter and the chapter after. But since we are only in chapter 4, I think it's best to jump up to chapter 1 and start reading there and then read all the way through chapter 5 at least. Now, practically, this is a good idea, even if you didn't have the practice of taking the bite of reading in context the way that I've defined it, because of one thing I identified in our feature verse. Did you notice the word our feature verse starts with? 2 Corinthians 4:1, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." All right, my old pastor used to say, whenever you see a therefore, you need to discover what it's there for. So when the author says therefore, it means he's made a statement or an argument that leads to this as a conclusion. So reading the context up to this therefore is a great way to understand it better. But before we do that, let's take a moment to take the bite of making some observations about this verse. So what do you think we'll read about if we hop back and read in context? Well, just by looking at this verse, I think we can deduce that Paul was writing about his ministry. So it says, having this ministry by the mercy of God. So if we hop back, we'll learn a little bit more about what this ministry is about. But ultimately, we can ask this question now. What is the source of this ministry? Well, God's mercy. And so then I ask, well, what is mercy? So let's take the bite of doing a quick word study. The verb appears throughout the New Testament where it often means to have pity or to show compassion to someone in difficult circumstances. So Paul uses the term here to indicate God is showing him mercy. So if I'm reading this right, God wants to show Paul compassion amid difficult circumstances. So he is giving him this ministry. All right, so remember that idea, by the way, as you back up and read from chapters 1 and forward, you're going to need to think about this because there's a spoiler. The ministry that God is given by his mercy is filled with afflictions. Think on that. Think on that for a minute. But what's the reason we do not lose heart? Well, because God has given us this ministry. The ministry is why we don't lose heart. No, I don't think so. I think because tucked into this affliction-filled ministry is a gift. We don't lose heart because God is the source of this ministry. And so to get a good idea of what this ministry is, we need only to back up to the end of chapter 2. When you read from verse 12 of chapter 2 through chapter 3, then you're going to discover in a deeper way what this ministry is. And basically, it is the preaching of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 3:6 calls them ministers of a new covenant. And the commentary that I read this week summarizes it this way. Paul compares the ministry of the old covenant with the ministry of the new. And the old covenant is a ministry of death and condemnation, while the new covenant is a ministry of life and righteousness. The old covenant was glorious, but the new covenant is more glorious because of its permanence. The old covenant brings conviction and shame, and thus the response of the sinful human heart is to cover and hide its glory. Moses hid his face from the Israelites because they were hiding their hearts from God. The new covenant reveals glory openly and brings transformation of heart to the believer. So go back and read that section of scripture and then maybe listen to that commentary again. It was really beautifully written to really kind of understand the context of this ministry. Now, if you want to take the bite of following the cross reference, then you could go read in Exodus chapter 34, how Moses, how his face would glow after spending time with God, something that Paul talks about here in 2 Corinthians. And that scene that would be very familiar to the first readers of this letter might take a little bit more work on our part to fully understand if you're not familiar with that. So if the idea of Moses's face glowing is you're like, wait, what? Then follow the cross reference to Exodus 34 and read about it there. And maybe, you know, even if you are very familiar with it, it's a good excuse to go and read that section of scripture again. All right, so let's recap a bit. Because God gave this ministry, this preaching of the gospel, a ministry of the new covenant, they will not lose heart. The stakes are too high. You know, God's glory is too great. The ministry was not pain-free. In fact, when we back up to read from the beginning of the letter, we're going to see great affliction as they carry out this ministry. And I need to be forthright here. You know, sometimes I believe afflictions to be a curse, not a mercy. There, I said it. You know, according to scripture, I'm wrong, but that's how I feel sometimes. If I'm honest with myself, that's how I feel. And I need to let scripture transform the way I think about this. And I want you to take the bite of reading in context, but I also want you to take the bite of read and keep on reading. So read the entire second letter to the Corinthians. Place yourself in their story before applying the scripture to your own situation. But according to the introduction in my Bible, Paul's opponents were undermining his work, claiming that his suffering proved he was not a true apostle. All right, this is that argument that I admitted plagues my thinking too, isn't it? That there's something wrong with me, or there's something wrong with my walk with God, and that is why I suffer affliction. And so whether this idea is coming from without or within, we need to let scripture correct our thinking. We need to see God's mercy in the midst of it. All right, so when I read the entire letter all the way through, I saw affliction, but I also saw a lot of comfort. And from the very beginning of this letter, we read, I'm going to start in verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. And then he goes on to say, we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. All right, so that's verse 3 through 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But what do I learn from this section of scripture? Well, first, I learned that God is the source of all comfort, and God comforts in all our afflictions. And then I also learned that we are comforted by God so that we can comfort others. So with that same comfort that we have received from God, he wants us to comfort others. And then I also learned that abundant suffering means the comfort is abundant too. And there's just so much more. I hope you spend some time in this section, but these are just a few of the observations that I made. Also, this one is free. You know how people say God won't give you more than you can handle? Well, that's false. You know, scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he won't let you be tempted beyond your ability, but this, and he gives you a way out. But this section of scripture is pretty clear. What Paul and his friends were going through was more than they could bear. The scripture literally says that they were burdened beyond our strength and despaired of life itself. They couldn't bear it. But God could, and Paul's conclusion is profound. That was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So even if this affliction destroyed them, it wasn't beyond God's ability to resurrect them in this life or the one to come. And on the same side of the coin of not losing heart is hope. And this hope is found in these verses I just read. Verse 7, our hope is for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. So Paul is basically saying here, don't lose heart, because even though the sufferings are great, so is the comfort. A comfort that you don't fully understand until you've needed it. And so then we get down to verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 1. It says, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. So don't lose heart, because your hope is not in your circumstances or even the comfort God promises, but your hope is in God himself. And we know that if God has acted before, that we can count on him to act again. Just as Paul argues here, he delivered us before and he will deliver us again. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. He's reliable. Don't lose heart, because your hope is in him. And then there's another example of hope in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. It says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. So what is this hope about? It's about the ministry God, in his mercy, gave Paul. It is the ministry we share as ministers of the new covenant. And verse 11 says, "For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, how much more what is permanent will have glory." My commentary says it this way. Paul says that the great hope God has provided in the new covenant moves him to be very confident. Moses hid his face with a veil in order to hide the glory from the carnal Israelites. Since Paul is ministering with the hope that God will change hearts and flood the earth with the Spirit of God, he does not need to cover the glory of the covenant from hard hearts. He can minister boldly. He doesn't think everyone will believe the gospel, but he does expect a harvest among the Gentiles. So it seems that the opposite of losing heart is taking courage and having boldness. And our boldness is rooted in hope. And our hope is in God and the comfort he promises and provides. And because of this, we can sing along with Stephen Curtis Chapman. Don't lose heart. Don't you dare let go. I've been where you are. You are not alone. I know it gets dark. I know it gets hard, but we're going to make it home. So don't lose heart. Now, I don't want to minimize the afflictions you are enduring, and Paul didn't. In fact, he made it clear and repeated it over and over again in his letter. You know, we've already read some in the early part of chapter 1, but if you keep reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." You see, the treasure is the truth of the gospel, and the jars of clay represent how fragile and vulnerable we are. And our fragility serves only to magnify the power of God. I think a wonderful place to wrap up our conversation today is in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So we don't lose heart. Paul's not making light of our affliction when he calls it light and momentary. He's just trying to draw our attention to the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And I know some of you have suffered deep, soul-crushing affliction. You may be in the midst of it now. And the deeper the affliction, the better idea you have of this eternal weight of glory. You know, Scripture says it's beyond comparison, and we can't even begin to comprehend it. Now, our song sings of it too. It says, "Take my hand and I'll show all the scars from where I've been. Remind you how we both know this story ends. I know you'll do the same for me. These afflictions that are only temporary are going to turn to glory beyond compare." So if your story is filled with pain, I pray that it has been filled with abundant comfort and that you have taken the opportunity to comfort others with the comfort God has given you, much like Stephen Curtis Chapman's doing through this song, you know. And I pray that you look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, the eternal things that God has in store for us when our time in this life is over. Put your hope in him, my friend, and don't lose heart. So what's next? Well, read 2 Corinthians this week. Look for afflictions and comfort. And when given the choice to lose heart, set your hope on God instead. Take time to meditate on the truths God reveals to you this week. And then while you're in God's Word, let me know how you're doing. You can email me directly, michelle@michellenezat.com. You can hop on Twitter or Instagram @michellenezat. Michelle L. Nezat is my public page on Facebook, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network. Check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to grab your episode guide at michellenezat.com/459download. With that in mind, I want to thank any new subscribers who've subscribed lately, like John from Virginia, Larry from Iowa, Joe from North Carolina, Morgan from Alabama, Leanne from Texas, Deanna from New Hampshire, and Denise from Quebec, Canada. Welcome. Now, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website at michellenezat.com, through iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. And if you haven't left a review yet, please leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts, or head over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. I really appreciate it. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next time, I will be featuring Gratitude by Brandon Lake to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, however, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/459. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.